in the limelight.
The recent exposure of the sexual crimes of the now dead in jail, Epstein, a friend of the US president, is appalling for both the villainous abuse of children itself and the chilling implications of government by blackmail, according to Chile-based investigative journalist Whitney Webb, who says that this tangled web of unsavory alliances casts a lurid light on the political history of the U.S. from the Prohibition era right up through the age of Trump. Stay with us for the first part of this article. Jeffrey Epstein, the billionaire who reportedly committed suicide in jail after being convicted on federal charges for the sex trafficking of minors, has continued to draw media scrutiny in the weeks after his arrest on July 6th. Part of the reason for this continued media interest is related to Epstein's relationship to the intelligence services. New information about the true extent of sexual blackmail Operation Epstein is believed to have run for decades. Epstein was able to run this sordid operation for so long, precisely because he was only the latest incarnation of a much older, more extensive operation that began in 1950s and perhaps even earlier. Starting first with mob-linked liquor baron Louis Rosentiel and later with Roy Khan, Rosentiel's protege and future mentor to Donald Trump, Epstein's was just one of the many sexual blackmail operations involving children that are all tied to the same network, which includes elements of organized crime, powerful Washington politicians, lobbyists, and fixers, and clear links to intelligence as well as the FBI. This report will delve into Cohn's close ties to the Reagan administration, which was also closely tied to the same organized crime network led by the infamous mob figure, Mayor Lansky. Of particular importance is a group of Reagan officials and associates who played key roles in the same network, and several fronts for the CIA that were involved in funneling money to the Central American Contra paramilitaries were also trafficking minors for their sexual exploitation and use in sexual blackmail rings. Several of these rings made headlines at one point or another over the years, from the Cowboy Ring run by Washington lobbyist Craig Spence to the Franklin Child Sex and Murder Ring run by Republican operative Larry King to the scandal that enveloped the Catholic charity Covenant House in late 1980s. Yet, as this report will show, all of these rings and more were connected to the same network that involved key figures linked to the Reagan White House and linked to Roy Khan, revealing the true scope of the sordid sexual blackmail operations and sex rings that involved the trafficking of children within the U.S. and even in Central America for their exploitation by dangerous and powerful pedophiles in the United States of America. As said earlier, appalling for both the villainous abuse of children itself and the chilling implications of government by blackmail, this tangled web of unsavory alliances casts a lurid light on the political history of the United States from the Prohibition era right up to the present day and the age of Trump, a fact made increasingly clear as more and more information comes to light in relation to the Jeffrey Epstein case. Since Donald Trump burst onto the political scene in 2015, the legacy of his mentor Roy Khan, as well as Khan's influence on his most famous protege, have begun to garner renewed media attention. Many of the profiles on Khan following Trump's rise have focused solely on certain shadowy aspects of Khan's history, particularly his association with major figures in New York organized crime, his corrupt dealings, and his eventual disbarment. Some of these portrayals even went so far as to label Khan as politically important. While Khan was known to deal with a sizable amount of sleaze in his career, such depictions of the man failed to note that he had created an influence machine of unrivaled power that included some of the most prominent people in media and politics, as well as a cadre of celebrities. Khan was closely associated with numerous celebrities, famous politicians, and political operatives. Many of his birthday parties over the years attracted such famous figures such as artist Andy Warhol, fashion designer Calvin Klein, and comedian Joy Adams, as well as notable political figures including former mayor of New York, Abraham Beam, and then Assemblyman from Brooklyn, and future senator Chuck Schumer, among others. In 1979, Margaret Trudeau, mother of current Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, attended Khan's birthday party, where she famously toppled his custom birthday cake. And of course, Donald Trump, who became Khan's protege in mid-1970s, was a frequent fixture at social events held in Khan's honor. The politicians, journalists, and celebrities invited to Khan's exclusive parties were said to be those who had open accounts in Khan's favor bank, his nickname for his unofficial balance sheet of political favors and debts that was surely informed and influenced by his extensive involvement in sexual blackmail operations from 1950s well into 1980s. Many of Khan's celebrity friendships were cultivated through his relationship and with frequent appearances at the famous debaucherous New York nightclub Studio 54, which was described by Vanity Fair as the giddy epicenter of 70s hedonism, a disco hothouse of beautiful people, endless cocaine, and every kind of perverted act. Khan was the longtime lawyer of the club's owners, Steve Rubel and Ian Charger. Among Khan's closest friends were Barbara Walters, to whom Khan often referred as his fiancée in public, and whom he later introduced to the head of the U.S. Information Agency, Chad Wick, and other high rollers in the Reagan White House. Yet, Walters was just one of Khan's powerful friends in the media, a group that also included Abe Rosenthal, executive editor of the New York Times, William Safire, longtime New York Times columnist and New York Magazine contributor, and George Sokolsky of the New York Herald Tribune, NBC and ABC. Sokolsky was a particularly close friend of both Khan and former FBI director J. Edgar Hoover, whose involvement in Khan's sexual blackmail operation is known to all. Sokolsky ran the American Jewish League Against Communism with Khan for several years, and the organization later named its Medal of Honor after Sokolsky. Khan was also the attorney and friend of media mogul Rupert Murdoch, and according to New York Magazine, whenever Roy wanted to a story stopped, item put in, or story exploited, Roy called Murdoch. And after Murdoch bought the New York Post, Khan wielded the paper as his personal assistant. According to the late journalist Robert Perry, the friendship between Murdoch and Khan first began because of their mutual support for the Israeli regime. Khan also leaned on his lifelong friend since high school, C. Newhouse Jr., to exert media influence. Newhouse oversaw the media empire that now includes Vanity Fair, Vogue, GQ, The New Yorker, and numerous local newspapers throughout the United States, as well as major interest in cable television. New York Magazine also noted that Khan used his influence in the early 80s to secure favors for himself and his mob clients in Newhouse publications. In addition to Newhouse, Khan's other high school pals, Generoso Pop Jr. and Richard Berlin, later became the owners of the National Enquirer and Hearst Corporation, respectively. Khan was also a close friend of another media mogul, Mort Zuckerman, who, along with Rupert Murdoch, would go on to befriend Jeffrey Epstein. Khan's media confidants, like journalist William Buckley of the National Review and Farin Line, often attacked Khan's political enemies, particularly longtime Manhattan District Attorney Robert Morgenthau. In their columns, using Khan as an anonymous source, Buckley, whom historian George Nash once called the preeminent voice of American conservatism and his first great ecumenical figure, received the George Solowski Medal alongside Khan's mob-linked client and Supreme Commander, Louis Rosenthal, from the Khan-run American Jewish League Against Communism in 1966. Buckley later got a heavily discounted $65,000 loan to buy a luxury boat from a bank where Khan held influence and whose president Khan had handpicked, according to a 1969 article in Life magazine. Buckley, along with Barbara Walters, Alan Dershowitz, and Donald Trump, would later serve as character witnesses for Khan during his 1986 disbarment hearings, and all but Buckley would later draw controversy for their relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. With connections like this, it's no wonder that Stanley Friedman, a law partner of Khan, who was later imprisoned over a kickback and bribery scandal while serving as New York's deputy mayor, told journalist Mary Brenner in 1980 that Roy could fix anyone in the city. Roy Khan's favorite bank and his unique position as a liaison between the criminal underworld, the rich and the famous, the top media influences, made him a force to be reckoned with. Yet it was his political connections to leadership figures in both the Republican and Democratic parties and his close relationship to longtime FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover, among other figures, that made him and his dark secret untouchable for much of his life. Though most of his political influence was forged in 1950s, Khan became even more powerful with the rise of Ronald Reagan. Even though he nominally maintained his affiliation with the Democratic Party throughout his life, Khan was a well-known fixer for Republican candidates, and this is clearly seen in his outsized roles during 1967 and 1980 presidential campaigns of Ronald Reagan. It was during the latter that Khan would meet another of his protégés, Roger Stone, whom he infamously instructed to leave a hefty bribe tucked in a suitcase at the doorstep of the Liberal Party's headquarters during the 1980 campaign. During this campaign, Khan would also meet Paul Manafort, an associate of Stone and later Trump 2016 campaign manager, and introduce both to Donald Trump. Khan's law partner, Tom Boland, was also an influential force in the Reagan campaign and later chaired Reagan's transition team in 1980. Reagan then named Boland, whom he considered a friend, a director of the Overseas Private Investment Corporation, the government's development finance institution, and he was also the New York finance co-chairman in the Reagan campaign in both 1918 and 1984. Boland was also close to others in Khan's circle, such as William F. Buckley Jr., Donald Trump, and Rupert Murdoch. Furthermore, Boland was instrumental in securing federal judgeships for several individuals who would later become influential, including future FBI Director Louis Fitch. Khan was also able to get friends of clients appointed as federal judges, including Donald Trump's sister, Marion Trump Barry. After Barry was appointed as a federal judge, Trump called Khan to thank him for pulling strings on his sister's behalf. Though Khan was not given a public position in the Reagan administration, he was not merely a dirty trickster who worked in the shadows during the Reagan campaigns. In fact, he worked closely with some of the more visible faces of the campaign, including the then communications director for Reagan's 1980 campaign and later CIA director William Casey. According to Kristen Seymour, Khan's longtime switchboard operator from the late 1960s up until his death in 1986, who listened in on his calls, Casey and Khan were close friends, and during 1980 campaign, Casey called Roy almost daily. Seymour also noted that one of Khan's other most frequent phone calls and closest friends was Nancy Reagan, and she was also one of his clients. Reagan, whose influence over her husband was well known, was so close to Khan that it was largely his death from AIDS that led her to encourage her husband to seek more funding for AIDS research. Prior to Khan's death, Nancy and her husband Ronald secured his spot in an exclusive experimental AIDS treatment program, despite the Reagan administration's well-documented non-response to the AIDS crisis for the era. Ronald Reagan was also a friend of Khan's and, according to late journalist Robert Perry, lavished favors on Khan, including invitations to White House events, personal thank you notes, and friendly birthday wishes over the course of his presidency. Given that Reagan heavily courted the evangelical right and promoted family values as president, the close ties between not only himself but his inner circle with Khan may seem odd. However, Reagan, like Khan, had deep ties to the same organized crime factions that were among Khan's clients and affiliates of the same mafia figures close to Khan's own mentor, Louis Rosenthal. Not unlike Khan, Reagan's own mentor, La Wasserman, had close ties to the mob. Wasserman, the longtime president of MCA and the well-known Hollywood mogul, is known for not only making Reagan's film and television career, but also supporting his successful push to become president of the Screen Actors Guild, which later launched Reagan's political career. In addition, MCA was a major financier of Reagan's successful Gob Rational bid in 1966, and not long after Reagan became president, his administration controversially shut down a massive Department of Justice DOJ probe into MCA's ties to organized crime. According to Sean Swords, a documentary filmmaker who explored Reagan's ties to MCA in Wages of Spin Second, Bring Down That Wall, Ronald Reagan was an opportunist. His whole career was guided by MCA, by Wasserman and MCA founder Jule Stein, who bragged that Reagan was malleable, that they could do what they wanted with him, that things about Reagan being though an organized crime, that's a fallacy. Swords' characterization of this relationship is supported by an unnamed Hollywood source cited in a declassified DOJ document who called Reagan a complete slave of MCA who would do their bidding on anything. What elements of organized crime were connected to Wasserman? As a young man, Lou Wasserman joined the Mayfield Road Gang, which was run by Mo Dalitz, a close friend of Mayor Lansky who paired the FBI, was a powerful figure in Lansky's criminal enterprise, second only to Lansky himself among members of the Jewish mob. Lou Wasserman would later marry Edith Beckerman, whose father was Dalitz's lawyer. Wasserman's closest friend and lawyer, Cindy Korshak, also had close ties to Dalitz and once partnered with Lansky in Acapulco Towers Hotel. Notably, the magazine New West stated in 1976 that Korshak was the logical successor to Mayor Lansky. Korshak, as a lawyer, fit a niche similar to Roy Khan and gained a reputation as the bridge between organized crime and society. Dear listeners, that was the first part of the two-part article titled Government by Blackmail, Epstein, Trump's Mentor, and the Dark Secrets of the Reagan Era. Stay tuned tomorrow for the second part of this article.